Chapter 18 is it text 17 or okay. Page 808 sounds good together. Yasya naham krito bhavo buddhir yasya nilipyate hatvapi sa imalokan nahanti nanibhajyate. Translation. One who is not motivated by false ego, whose intelligence is not entangled, though he kills men in this world, does not kill, nor is he bound by his actions. Text 18. Jnanam geyam parigyata trivida karma chodana karanam karma karateti trivida karma sangraha. Translation. Knowledge, the object of knowledge, and the knower are the three factors that motivate action. The senses, the work, and the doer are the three constituents of action. Text 19. Jnanam karma cha karta cha tridaiva guna bhedataha prochate guna sankhyane yatavach chanu tanyapi. Translation. According to the three different modes of material nature, there are three kinds of knowledge, action, and performer of action. Now hear of them from me. Text 20. Sarvabhuteshu yenaikam bhavam avyayam ikshate avibhaktam vibhakteshu tajjnanam vidisarvich. One undivided spiritual nature is seen in all living entities, though they are divided into innumerable forms. You should understand to be in the mode of goodness. Text 21. Pritaktvena tu yajjnanam nana bhavan pritakvidan veti sarveshu bhuteshu tajjnanam vidirajasam. Translation. That knowledge by which one sees that in every different body there is a different type of living entity, you should understand to be in the mode of passion. Text 22. Yattu kritsnavad ekasmin karye saktam ahoitukam atatarvarta tavad alpacha tatamasam udaharitam. Translation. And that knowledge by which one is attached to one kind of work as the all in all, without knowledge of the truth, and which is very meager, is said to be in the mode of darkness. Text 23. Niyatam sangarahitam araga dveshatakritam apala prepsuna karma yatat sattvikam uchate. Translation. That action which is regulated and which is performed without attachment, without love or hatred, and without desire for fruit of results is said to be in the mode of goodness. Text 24. Yattu kame psuna karma sahankarena vapunaha kriyate bahulayasam tadrajasam udahritam. Translation. But action performed with great effort by one seeking to gratify his desires and enacted from a sense of false ego is called action in the mode of passion. Text 25. Anubandham kshayam himsam anapeksha sapaurusham mohat arabhyate karma yattatam samuchate. Translation. That action performed in illusion, in disregard of scriptural injunctions, and without concern for future bondage, or for violence or distress caused to others, is said to be in the mode of ignorance. Text 26. Mukta sango naham vadi drityutsaha samanvitaha sidyava siddhayor nirvikara karta sattvika uchate. Translation. One who performs his duty without association with the modes of material nature, without false ego, with great determination and enthusiasm, and without wavering in success or failure, is said to be a worker in the mode of goodness. And text 27. Ragi karma phala prepsu lubdo himsatmako shuchi harsha shokanvita karta rajasak parikirtitaha. Translation. The worker who is attached to work and the fruits of work, desiring to enjoy those fruits, and who is greedy, always envious, impure, and moved by joy and sorrow, is said to be in the mode of passion. Going back to 17.
One who is not motivated by false ego, whose intelligence is not entangled, though he kills men in this world, does not kill, nor is he bound by his actions. Purport. In this verse, the Lord informs Arjuna that the desire not to fight arises from false ego. Arjuna thought himself to be the doer of action, but he did not consider the supreme sanction within and without. If one does not know that a super sanction is there, why should he act? But one who knows the instruments of work, himself as the worker, and the Supreme Lord as the Supreme Sanctioner, is perfect in doing everything. Such a person is never an illusion. Personal activity and responsibility arise from false ego and godlessness, or a lack of Krishna consciousness. Anyone who is acting in Krishna consciousness under the direction of the Supersoul or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though killing, does not kill. Nor is he ever affected by the reaction of such killing. When a soldier kills under the command of a superior officer, he is not subject to be judged. But if a soldier kills on his own personal account, then he is certainly judged by a court of law.
Questions on this? Okay, next text.
Knowledge, the object of knowledge, and the knower are the three factors that motivate activity, action. The senses, the work, and the doer are the three constituents of action.
Report.
There are three kinds of impetus for daily work: knowledge, the object of knowledge, and the knower. The instruments of work, the work itself, and the worker are called the constituents of work. Any work done by any human being has these elements. Before one acts, there is some impetus, which is called inspiration. Any solution arrived at before work is actualized is a subtle form of work. Then work takes the form of action. First, one has to undergo the psychological processes of thinking, feeling, and willing, and that is called impetus. The inspiration to work is the same if it comes from the scripture or from the instruction of the spiritual master. When the inspiration is there and the worker is there, then actual activity takes place by the help of the senses, including the mind, which is the center of all the senses. The sum total of all the constituents of an activity are called the accumulation of work.
So you can look at the three factors that motivate action. Knowledge, the object of knowledge, and the knower. Okay, so before one acts, there is some impetus, which is called inspiration. Impetus. Inspiration. any solution arrived at before work is actualized is a subtle form of work. Let's see, so Gyanam Gyayam Parigyata. Knowledge, Gyayam, the object of knowledge.
So,
Gyanam, knowledge, Gyayam, the object of knowledge, the objective of knowledge. So, to understand, the knower is parigyata. And then that which is known, that is knowledge. And the object of what, of getting knowledge, what does one get? Or what is the desired objective of knowledge? Of course, elsewhere, this is also explained, that Krishna says that Gyanam Gyayam Gyanagamyam, that he is all these three things. But in this case, Krishna is speaking in a more general way how to understand the work or action. Because without knowledge, why will anyone perform any action? Well, you could look at it, if there's no knower, there's no action. These are the factors that motivate action. For example, if you have a dead stone, there's no parigyata, there's no knower. So there's no action. Then, there's also no, if there's no knower, then there's no action. And even if there's a knower, but there has to be some knowledge. One has to have some impetus, some consciousness, some awareness. And that is Chodana, impetus, karana, senses, karta, the doer, karma, three kinds of work, three factors that motivate action. And then the senses, the work, and the doer are the three constituents of action. So, it seems that the knower and the doer, they seem to be the same person. Gyayam, or gyanam, parigyata, karanam karma karteti, karta, that's the doer. Karma is the work, and senses are karanam. Karanam, karma, karta. Chodana means those first three, they're the impetus, knowledge. As explained, Prabhupada says that before one acts, there is some impetus which is called inspiration. Any solution arrived at before work is actualized, is a subtle form of work. That means knowledge. Or, Gyanam Gyayam, or the objective of knowledge. So, there's some contemplation. It's like when a man builds a skyscraper, he doesn't just immediately take the stones, but he contemplates how it should look. First of all, there's some desire that I want to build it, so some contemplation, inspiration. Then he has to get some knowledge how to build it, how to construct it. Then three things are necessary. The senses, he has to use the senses. And then he has to work, have to do it. And there has to be a doer to execute action. Going on, text 19.
According to the three different modes of material nature, there are three kinds of knowledge, action, and performer of action. Now hear them for me.
Purport.
In the 14th chapter, the three divisions of the modes of material nature were elaborately described. In that chapter, it was said that the mode of goodness is illuminating, the mode of passion materialistic, and the mode of ignorance conducive to laziness and indolence. All the modes of material nature are binding. They are not sources of liberation. Even in the mode of goodness, one is conditioned. In the 17th chapter, the different types of worship by different types of men and different modes of material nature were described. In this verse, the Lord says that he wishes to speak about the different types of knowledge, workers, and work itself according to the three material modes.
Okay, next. You have a question?
In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it stated that the cowherd boys who were playing with Krishna, they had achieved this status after accumulating heaps and heaps of pious credit. I was wondering if you could explain how this is so.
Krita punya punya. Yes. By performing great austerities, just like Devaki and Vasudeva in previous life, they were living on dry leaves for hundreds of years, and they were performing strict celibacy, even though they were married, because they wanted to please the Lord so that they could have him as their son. They didn't want anything else. They were just meditating that we want to have the Lord as our son. And there are different ways to approach according to one's particular interest. They happen to be somewhat inclined towards yoga practice. So that's what they did. We see that it's not so easy to get the Supreme Personality of Godhead as one's friend, to play with him, or as they did, to have the Supreme Personality of Godhead as their son. This requires great purification. Not that they... One might say, well, why didn't they just engage in devotional service? Why did they undergo this austerity? But that austerity, if it's part of the desire to please the Lord, is also devotional service. It's like fasting on Ekadashi. You might say, why should we fast on Ekadashi? Why should we not eat grains? Or why should we fast on Janmashtami? After all, devotional service is higher than austerities. But austerities can also be used in Krishna's service if the motivation is pure. So, in this case, the cowherd boys had performed krita punya punya. Punya means pious activities. And they had performed pious activities. And now, they were able to play with Krishna eternally. What actually, it's explained that anyone who's participating in the Sankirtan movement in Kali Yuga and planet Earth, it's a greater austerity than sitting in yoga practice. It's so contaminated. that to try to perform Sankirtan Yajna in this place and to stay out of Maya is a great accomplishment. Even more difficult than practicing yoga in a previous age. So we shouldn't underestimate how great it is if someone can keep himself nicely engaged in devotional service. Krishna allows everyone to do what they like, and he's very liberal. He will let everyone serve him as they like. Or, if they like, they can forget him and forever. He won't interfere with either way. So if one wants to serve him by performing austerities, but they're meditating on him, he accepts that. Like there was one South Indian Brahmin. He was very poor, but he had heard at a lecture that one can offer food and other worshipable items to the Lord in meditation, even if he doesn't have the things. So he began meditating in his mind on cooking food for the Lord. First he thought, I'll cook some nice sweet rice. He got a golden pot, the best rice. He put the water and he was boiling, stirring the milk and the rice in his meditation. Then after cooking, he wanted to test to see if it was too hot to offer the Lord. He put his finger in the meditation sweet rice and his finger got burned, the real one. So when his meditation broke and he looked and his finger was red, it had been burned by the sweet rice. But Krishna accepts that service. He wanted to serve in his mind by offering some sweet rice, so Krishna accepted it. Another devotee wants to serve the Lord by performing austerities. Krishna accepts that. Someone wants to serve the Lord by giving charities. He's willing to accept whatever we offer. There's all kinds of varieties of ways to please the Lord. The gopis, they were thinking that if we cannot go to be with Krishna, there's no use even living. Krishna accepts that also, that mood of devotion and faithfulness. He doesn't interfere. Let them serve as they like. Was there some part of that?
The philosophy that everyone will go back to Godhead then is not correct?
Everyone will go back to Godhead? We hope so. It's up to them. Krishna won't force them to go back to Godhead. It's their choice. Everyone has free will. They can stay in the material world, or they can go back to Godhead. That's what it means to be tatastha shakti. Sometimes they're serving in the spiritual energy, and sometimes they're serving in the material energy. What if someone doesn't want to go back to Godhead? He's not forced. He can stay here and try to be the lord of all he surveys. He can compete with the others who don't wish to go back. They want to stay here. They think, why should I go there and be a servant? I'll stay here and be a master. I'll get a big business. I'll have 150 workers. I'll have servants. I'll have a big car. I'll have a boat. I'll have everything. Everyone will give me what I want. So he's thinking, I'll set up my kingdom here. Why should I go back there? But he doesn't realize that he cannot set up his kingdom here. He's encroaching. This is not his kingdom. This is Maya's kingdom. This is Maya's place. So, he doesn't have any freedom. He has to jump according to Maya's demand. He thinks, now I'm in charge. But then he gets a heart attack. And he's kicked out. So how was he in charge? Or he gets some triple bypass and then he's paralyzed. So he thought he was in control, but then he's not in control. Maya's in control. So they're thinking, let me stay here and enjoy and lord it over. But the intelligent person realizes there's no lording it over here. At least not by the living entities. Maya, she's lording it over, but of course she's also subordinate to the supreme overseer, Krishna. Maya dakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetunane nikonteya jagadvi parivart.
20?
Yeah?
That knowledge.
Oh, wait, that. Next one, 21.
That knowledge by which one sees that in every different body there is a different type of living entity, you should understand to be in the mode of passion.
Yeah, just like they say animals have a different... Some say animals have no soul. Some say animals have a different soul. Animal soul, Christian soul, Jewish soul, woman's soul, all different kinds of souls. Because they don't really understand souls. So they more or less take the body and the soul to be the same. So they don't really... Their idea of different kinds of souls means they don't really understand the soul. Hmm. And this is quite prominent today, we see, amongst so-called religious people. The atheists don't believe in the soul at all. The scientists, as we'll read in the next verse, they don't even think about the soul. It doesn't even come to their minds. But generally people think this, that they are the mind. So according to the body, according to the mind, like the philosophers, they say the id, you know, the false ego, the ego. What is the ego? So they get confused. The ego and the self. The ego is not the self. The ego is the sense of one's identity. They get confused because it's too subtle for them. It's like a person in the mode of passion, he doesn't take time to understand something very carefully. He's too quick. So they can't get too deep into it because their mind is too busy thinking how to enjoy their senses. Their mind is not peaceful. And it's only imbued with the mode of passion. So the mode of passion doesn't give one real knowledge. It doesn't give one enlightenment. Just like, would you want a very passionate person to be a doctor? A person who's always, you know, trying to rush through everything. He's got many big ambitions. He's thinking, oh, I'm just doing this job to make some money, and I can't wait till I get out of this surgery room, because then I'm going to go make some more money. But you don't want that kind of surgeon who's too passionate. He's too quick. He's trying to save time. He's saying, look, normally this operation takes 2 hours, but I have to go somewhere in 1 hour, so let's do it in 1 hour. There's horror stories about sometimes doctors leaving the scissors inside, you know. They were cutting open, and then they had this scissors inside and they forgot and they sewed up the scissors. Later on, it caused difficulty for the patient. So this is the mode of passion. They can't take the time to clearly understand something or to do it properly. At least not things that require serious contemplation, serious meditation. And certainly to understand the absolute truth requires very deep absorption with the intelligence. And that intelligence has to be not contaminated. We learn that according to Ayurveda, there are, also Bhagavad Gita, there are three modes of nature. And rajas, tamas, and sattvas. So, food is of three types, work is of three types, contemplating, knowledge is of three types. Everything is categorized in this way. So when a person is infected by the mode of passion, he thinks in a particular way. Just like dogs. Dogs, they act like dogs. You won't see a dog acting like a cow. You won't see a dog going out into the field and just chewing grass all day. You'll never see that. You know, a dog just chewing on grass. It's all the cows do all day. They just chew grass. But a dog won't do that. He has a different body, different modes of nature. He has some passion. He has some ignorance. He has some goodness. But the cow has predominantly goodness. You see, the cow is just making milk for Krishna. She's using her machine for producing milk. She doesn't harm anybody. Even the grass, she doesn't even pull out the grass. She just takes the tops off. She's so gentle. Therefore, the cow and the bull, they're the emblem of religiosity. Producing milk and grains. The ox or the bull, he produces grains by pulling the plow. And milk is especially suitable for nourishing the finer brain tissues. Milk products, they have that special potency. And so by drinking milk, one, milk is in the mode of goodness. So by taking milk, one has a better opportunity to understand spiritual knowledge by cultivating the mode of goodness. Just like if one goes out to the forest, there's a better chance if he meets some sage out there, there's a better chance he can understand the transcendental knowledge than if he's in the city where everything's so passionate. Or better than if he's in the bar where everyone's intoxicated. How can someone who's intoxicated understand the absolute truth? He's already in illusion. But when a person's sitting out in the nice forest and gets the opportunity to hear about the absolute truth, it's much easier because of the mode of goodness is prominent there. If he eats the right food in the mode of goodness, he'll be able to understand the science. If he eats passionately, then it'll be more difficult. So, a person who's already in the mode of goodness, it should be very easy for him to take to devotional service because he's already a certain portion of he's closer. The only problem is sometimes persons in the mode of goodness become proud and they become puffed up that they're better than everyone and they aren't able to hear for that reason because they think they already know. Continue. Next text.
And that knowledge by which one is attached to one kind of work is the all in all.
Next one.
That action, which is regulated and which is performed without attachment, without love or hatred, and without desire for fruitive results, is said to be in the mode of goodness.
Someone might object, why without love? Love. We should act out of love. But Krishna says no, not love, nor hatred, not attachment. You should, and without desire for fruit of result. Why is he doing it then if it's not out of love? He's doing it with knowledge, because it ought to be done. For example, if a doctor, he sees some patient, you know, falling down with heat stroke. Now, he doesn't go over and say, do I love this person? And if he sees that it's a man, he says, I don't love this person. Forget it. But if he sees it's an attractive young lady, oh, now I have love. I'll help her. No, that's the point. It's not that kind of love. A doctor, he does it because he's supposed to do it. It's not a question of love. Or not love. Or if it's a wealthy person or a poor person, he doesn't consider, oh, does this person have much money? Will he be able to pay me? Should I help him? Well, let me see if he's got money. Sir, tries to wake him up. Sir, do you have money before I do anything? No. So that means if he does that, that's not goodness, that's passion. And goodness is, I should do it. It doesn't matter who it is. That's the mode of goodness. And ignorance means, oh, it's too much trouble. I've got other things, you know, I don't know. Too much trouble. That's ignorance. So ignorance, he doesn't do it. Passion, he may do it or may not do it based on what he gets out of it. And goodness, he does it because it ought to be done. These are the three types of action. Next, 24.
But action performed with great effort by one seeking to gratify his desires and enacted from a sense of false ego is called action in the mode of passion.
Okay, we discussed that. Now 26.
One who performs his duty without association with the modes of material nature, without false ego, with great determination and enthusiasm, and without wavering in success or failure, is said to be a worker in the mode of goodness.
Yes, now one can act in the mode of goodness without necessarily being Krishna conscious. But when one applies the principles of goodness in Krishna consciousness, then it becomes transcendental. So we should use the mode of goodness as the vehicle for performing devotional service to Krishna, for pleasing Him. We shouldn't use passion for trying to please Krishna, because in the mode of passion, there's attachment to the results. And there's over-endeavor. Because he can't get free from trying to enjoy the results. That's what passion means. Therefore, when a person in the mode of passion, like a Kshatriya, acts under the direction of Krishna, he's elevated to beyond even a Brahmana. He has to be. He becomes a Vaishnava. He's no longer in passion anymore. Now he's on the transcendental platform. It's being enacted from that platform. Because if he acts out of passion, like Arjun, his proposal was passionate one. He said, I don't want to fight. He thought it was goodness. He was thinking, Krishna will be pleased. I'm speaking about goodness. He was thinking renunciation. But actually, he was in passion. He was rejecting on the basis of some, because it was too difficult. He didn't like it. He was thinking about the results and all the bad reactions. But when Krishna told him to fight, and he agreed to execute the order of Krishna, although it seemed that he was fighting with passion, it was actually transcendental power. It wasn't ordinary passion, material passion. Therefore, he became greater than a Kshatriya or even a Brahmana. He He could even kill a Brahmana. Normally, it's not recommended. No one can ever do that. But in the case of Dronacharya, he was a Brahmana. But because he had opposed Krishna, Prabhupada said, one lecture, he said that Drona and Bhishma should have come to the side of Arjuna. Yudhisthira gave that opportunity in the beginning. He called out, he said, if there's anyone on the side of the Kurus who wishes to come to this side, we'll accept you. And only one came. It was the son of Dhritarashtra by a maidservant. Not by Gandhari. He had 100 sons by Gandhari and he had one son by a maidservant. He came over. So why didn't Bhishma come? Drona. Because they didn't come, therefore Krishna instructed that Arjuna had to fight against them also. That means Arjuna's fighting was on the transcendental platform. Because a Kshatriya would never fight against the Brahmana. It's not... Of course, when the Brahmana comes down to the fighting platform, then it may, but generally not. Okay, last text, 27.
The worker who is attached to work and the fruits of work, desiring to enjoy those fruits, and who is greedy, always envious, impure, and moved by joy and sorrow, is said to be in the mode of passion.
Okay, thank you very much. Bhagavad Gita as it is. Shishigorni Tai Ki Jai.